Oh my goodness, everyone. I cannot tell you what a pleasure it is to have one of my personal favorite and so many other people's favorite guests back on George Mycock to discuss all things male body image and the whole nine yards.
Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university.
George, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back on. And yeah, you were telling me just before we started recording that you've had such a positive response from the last episode. So I'm really happy to hear that. It's always nice to hear people like to listen to what you're talking about. So hopefully I can be entertaining and interesting this time as well.
People taking an interest in you is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like both for the ego boost and like, oh, people really do care about what I do. And in your case, not only do I care, so many other people care, but for those that are not familiar with your work, can you describe it in a nutshell for us before we get into all of those hard questions?
Yeah, so my, I guess, area of, I'm a researcher. I run a mental health organization called MyoMinds, finishing up my PhD at the moment. And I look at men's eating, exercise, and body image concerns. So as you said, kind of body image issues, eating, kind of disordered eating concerns, and also negative relationships with exercise. Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you today.
One thing I think that we touched on last time, but I want to go deeper into, is this concept of media, the things that we're consuming and how it impacts how we believe we should show up, how we believe we should look, how we believe we should act. How do you think media, especially as media continues to grow, has this relationship with body image, eating, exercise?
Yeah, so there's a really like well-established theoretical way of explaining this or looking at this that talks about the tripartite model of eating disorders, and it basically suggests and seems to be able to accurately predict that the messages that we get from media, from social media, from general kind of, you know, TV, movies, etc., give us an internalized appearance ideal. So what we believe we are supposed to be, what the ideal is for us. And when we feel that we have a sense of discrepancy in that, so we feel like we don't quite meet it for whatever reason, that then leads to disordered eating symptoms. And that's kind of your general, you'd call it body dissatisfaction in the kind of research, but just feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like your body isn't at the you know, ideal of what it's supposed to be according to this media. So it sets this standard and can set a unrealistic or even impossible standard, as a lot of people talk about nowadays with AI and editing and all that kind of stuff that we can maybe talk about.
I would love to talk about AI because I, over the weekend, so we had the Victoria's Secrets fashion show here in the States, and I've seen a lot of AI photoshopped photographs of people turning themselves into a Victoria's Secrets angel. How is AI contributing to this, right? Particularly for men, not women. What is AI doing to our brains even?
Yeah, I mean, so in regards to AI, the literature is still really new, so I can't really say for definite. I think it's not really my like full area of expertise either, so I wouldn't want to kind of speculate to some degree. But
we'll speculate with you.
from my area, looking at body image, looking at these kind of concerns, I think the main issue is the better AI gets, the easier it is to create imagery that we can't distinguish between real and fake, the higher prevalence there's going to be of impossible body ideals and impossible body images. And the ease in which for people to be able to edit and adapt their own appearance for social media, and setting that body ideal for other people and even for themselves, even just, I guess, anecdotally from my own experience with these things, because I struggle with them too. If I see older pictures of myself where I was leaner or more muscular or whatever, I can have that sense of body discrepancy from myself. I can feel bad about the fact that I don't look like my past self, my younger self, my whatever self. And there's a sense with AI that if it can feel tempting or even feel like a game or a bit of fun to just be like, oh, what would I look like if I did this and then put it into AI? We can start to set really like unrealistic expectations of what we could look like, because the AI can make it look very realistic and possible, even when it might not be. Again, I don't know of any literature around that, but I think there's something really interesting there of it can set the impossible body standard. It's normally in comparison to another person, so there's a level of separation there, but AI can make you look like this impossible body image and make you potentially believe that it's more attainable than it actually is. And maybe there's a concern with that.
Hmm. Absolutely. You explained that very well. See, he's like, oh, let's speculate. That was beautiful. That was beautifully said. I would like to go off the rails a little bit and ask you something interesting. So you used a very fascinating word, and that word was dissatisfaction. Mm. I think dissatisfaction is interesting because we see a lot of younger men and younger women who are dissatisfied with their life, with their body, therefore not getting into as many relationships. The relationships tend to be more unstable. And as a personal note, I was stalked for 2.5 years by someone, right? And so when we think about dissatisfaction and men's mental health, how does the body image play into their overall worldview of themselves? And how does that lead to, I guess, feelings of dissatisfaction in relationships and life and work? Because I think that's what we're starting to see happen to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, that is a big question.
I know. I hit you with a big question. I'm very sorry.
Well, no, my caveat is, I think for me to answer that in the entirety that I maybe could, it would be very confusing and all over the place and would take a very long time. So instead, I'm going to go down an avenue that immediately points out to me and what we'll explore there. When you spoke about that, the kind of immediate thing that came to my mind is what people kind of refer to as the manosphere nowadays. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Thank you for saying the manosphere, because I didn't want to bring it up, but I wanted to go there.
I think that it's in the kind of the zeitgeist. It's what people talk about a lot more nowadays. And I don't know if you saw the show Adolescence that was on Netflix. That was all kind of about the manosphere. And it is something that we see more and more. And it's an area that I am particularly interested in relationship to body image. So we can definitely talk about that. Again, the literature is very small. Like our research into the manosphere is so, so new. And the manosphere is also much more complex than we often consider it to be. There are several kind of subgroups to this overarching idea. There's obviously the incels. There's the pickup artists. These kind of different groups that are vastly different, even though they tend to get thrown into this thing. But I think part of what we can talk about in regards to this is, when we look at for example, the incel community, some of the data that comes out about those in particular. So for people who don't know, this is incel stands for involuntary celibate. And it's basically this idea. It's this group of young men often who it's the community itself is usually defined and identified as having a standard. It's anti-feminist. It's the idea that feminism is bad and that it's negatively impacting young men's lives. And the incel community are young men or just men in general who identify with feeling like for whatever reason feminism is against them and it's stopping them from being able to have sex with people, sex with women, to be specific. It's very heteronormative as well. So it's very kind of like men and women. And it's where you often see, if you watch adolescents, you talk about it. This podcast isn't about the manosphere, but, you know, we talk just to give you a bit of insight into it. But one of the kind of fundamental underpinnings of incel and this kind of that area of manosphere is this idea of, they call it sexual market value, which is that it's very important in these communities and these subgroups that you are physically attractive, and even just attractive in the sense of just you can find a partner, you can, you know, date people, you can whatever, and that's all equivalent on your sexual market value, this kind of scale of how attractive you are, I suppose. And one huge component of that within these subgroups for the men is muscularity, is showing that you have big muscles, that you're lean, that you're athletic, because it's supposed to show that you can fight, and it's supposed to show that you can protect, and these kind of traditional masculine roles of like being the provider, protector, it's supposed to show that ethos. And then according to their kind of scale and their ideology, that will attract all women, or will attract in big air
higher
quotes,
value high
value women.
Women.
Yes, exactly. I guess, yeah, there's another thing. There's going to be a lot of terms that we'll talk about if we're talking about this, where we're putting air quotes on, trust me. I think even just talking about that, talking about this, you know, this, it's underpinned by this idea of your attraction and your value, and that tying to, you know, your money, your like power, so like societal power, having like a high standard job, etc. And in a kind of world where, especially kind of in the Western world, you know, economic crises are happening all over the place. People are struggling with jobs, losing their jobs, you know, and a lot of men are struggling within the job world, job market, and with economics, more so than maybe they have seen their parents struggle with, or their grandparents mm-hmm. struggle with. And that sense of meaning or sense of self-worth that they might have got from that, especially if they're kind of socialized with these traditional masculine ideas and moving into a manosphere, the body and body image and showing muscularity and this kind of stuff might feel like the only option for some of these men. And I think it's really interesting to me that the entry point for this like manosphere, the quote unquote red pill, as they call it, is often based on the idea that I'm not attractive enough, therefore I need to learn these pickup things, or I need to learn this ideology to be able to recognize what the world's really like, and that it's because I'm not attractive enough, everything's out against me, feminism's trying to take things away from me.
And how sad.
Yeah.
As a caveat, how sad.
No, yeah, it is. It's really sad. The incel group is really interesting to me, because the literature that's come out more recently from a guy called, I can't remember his first name, but his last name's Costello. And he did a survey with incels, and like one of the things that really stood out is how high they are on suicidality and like mental health concerns. They often score higher on like kind of autistic spectrum. They're often minority kind of ethnicities. The survey, it shocked me, to be honest with you, because it's not what I kind of assumed, but those groups in particular seemed to be a lot of very like sad and upset and struggling men. You know, they also do then, some of them do horrible things. I'm not trying to be like we should sympathize with them entirely, but there is also a level of like, I have sympathy, like there's empathy there of like, that sounds awful.
Well, I do too. And I think it's been more recent for me, but the farther I've become removed from some of the things that happened to me, and I don't want to turn this into the Brooke Sobs story, I've been able to see how dissatisfied you must be with yourself to do that to someone else for that period of time. And to your point about it is very sad, it prevents people from having normal relationships, right? And then women don't know how to support men in their life because there is so much of this. So one question that I have for you is, if a woman is interested in this, you know, has a man in her life, either intimately, as a friend, whatever, how can she be supportive of that man as a whole person? Because what we're hearing here is this objectification of men, right? We're not talking about their heart or their kindness or their abilities or their ambition. we are talking and putting them into this box, unfortunately, that they're putting themselves into of physical value. And because they're not working on that emotional intelligence, it never grows. So how can women be supportive of any man on this journey?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think part of it is individual. So, you know, there isn't kind of a one size fits all response. But I think what you were talking about there, I think helping men identify the parts of them that other people love that may or may not align with these traditional masculine things. So, you know, their care and their ability to be more emotionally aware or to show certain aspects of themselves that might not align with those traditional masculine things, as well as being able to acknowledge the things that are masculine about them that you might like. You might like some of those traditional masculine stuff, and that's fine. You shouldn't be worried that you're going to trigger something by saying, oh, I love that you provide for me or whatever, and that's fine. But I think so much of these issues with masculinity, at least in the literature, seem to come from this idea of discrepancy, of not being masculine enough. And I think time and time again, when we look at like help seeking for like mental health concerns and these kind of things, one of the things that seems to subvert that is a partner intervening, often a woman or a family member, like some kind of interpersonal relationship, a friend, a mom, a sister, a partner, whoever, intervening and saying like, no, it's okay. Like you can do these things. I think some of it comes from that fear of, especially like in the manosphere spaces, their whole thing is masculinity is what makes you loved and respected. They won't say loved because that's not, you know, doesn't fit into their world.
Doesn't fit into their vernacular.
Yeah. But you know, it's about respect and whatever in their eyes. But they're taught and, you know, it's drilled into them that people will only respect you, only love you, only like you, if you're this super masculine thing. So I think part of it is kind of actively rewarding times where they aren't those things, actively rewarding times where they show things that you like about them. You don't even have to think about it. We think and speak often in this kind of binary masculine feminine thing. They're just attributes. We're just people, and we kind of attribute these terms to them, and that's fair enough. It helps us understand the world a bit. But to put it in easy terms, when the men in your life do things that you like, tell them, and like tell them why you like it. And I think those kind of things can help men feel a sense of appreciation and a sense of like worthiness and whatever it is, that they may feel less inclined to seek it elsewhere. And that's where they kind of end up in these problematic areas, and maybe less inclined as well then to lean on body image and disordered eating and that kind of thing as a way to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a big link between, to your point, body image, exercise concerns, and the manosphere? And do you think it will grow?
I'm almost certain there's a link. That there's not necessarily any research. I have recently been invited as part of a research group with a kind of worldwide charity looking at men's stuff. I don't know if I can say, because I don't know if they've released the data yet. So, but there is some funding coming out, and basically this big charity found a link between the kind of masculine influences, as they call them, but most like manosphere stuff, as most people would call them, and pushing this idea of being rich and ripped, as they call it. And they've kind of asked me to become part of this group, and as I think some other like body image researchers as well, to investigate that, look into it, but also fund initiatives and like organizations that are going to try and like approach these men and try and find a way to intervene or something like that. So there's certainly a link, and people seem to be doing something about it. I do think it's going to get worse unless we do something about it, purely just because it's getting worse globally. It's getting worse across gender. Body image issues are getting worse all over, and researchers are trying really hard to try and find ways to intervene, but you know, researchers getting funding's getting pulled, and you know, again, the economic crisis and all this kind of stuff's going on that makes it more difficult to do that. But I do think I think it's getting more attention. And as I said, this big charity's turning towards it because they've noticed it. So I think in particular with men, it's going to be getting more attention moving forwards. And I think there's already quite a lot of attention on it in women and kind of other genders to some degree anyway, but certainly more.
Mm-hmm. Curiosity question. What does the average person like myself misunderstand about male body image?
The other one is a kind of a caveat to what we've been talking about today, but some of the people who are becoming more aware of it now, I think, misunderstand that it's not always about muscularity. Just like, again, it's that kind of the masculine body ideal tends to be around muscularity, so we see more men doing that. But not every man's body image issue is about trying to become more muscular. Sometimes it's more what we'd often align with, like feminine body ideals of trying to become thinner or, you know, whatever it is. These things shift and are very individual. And I think we have to also be really careful that we don't create a new stereotype. Like, the stereotype was that body image issues only happen to women. We don't want to make a new stereotype of muscularity body image issues only happen to men, because women get them too. Other genders will struggle with muscularity body image issues as well. And that's actually on the rise a lot in women. I don't know necessarily what it is. I think there are various things. I think some of it could be like fitness is being pushed more on women and girls now. So the kind of more muscular body build is more, is growing in as the kind of appearance ideal in some spaces. There's also potential more success of women's sport on TV and stuff. It might be, like, again, obviously a great thing, but might be changing the course of appearance ideals, as like young girls are seeing more athletic women and wanting to look like that, and then the kind of concerns growing around that more.
That's but very yeah, just interesting.
Just to say that don't assume that if someone's struggling with body image and they happen to be a man that they must be trying to get more muscular. It's not always the case.
I have another heart. So that's really interesting, by the way, as a caveat, because I saw advertisements about new Barbie dolls that are women's sports players who were significantly more muscular than the Barbie dolls that were around when I was a little kid. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that's not necessarily bad. It's nuance, and that's fine. And I think to some degree, it's, you know, if somebody is susceptible to struggling with body image issues, for it's normally, there's various environmental, individual, but even biological, like genetic stuff going on that can make someone more susceptible to struggle with these kind of things. And it might just be that the target is a bit different because of these things. And that's that, you know, I think the Barbie doing that kind of thing is a positive thing.
I do think so, too. But if you're an ectomorph like me and you're like, I want to become this, that's where it has some issues. So my question for you is, what are three pieces of advice or tangible steps you would tell a young person to take to either A, for a woman, combat this ideology, or B, for a man, get out of it? And you can mix those two.
Yeah, so I think for... if you're struggling with this, I guess regardless of gender, but we'll say men in this particular instance, often so much of this comes down to an idea of self-identity and self-worth and not feeling good enough. One practice that I did just from my own lived experience, like working on myself when I was struggling with this, was try and practice every day or every week or whatever it is, writing down things that you like about yourself that have nothing to do with your body. I did that at first, and it was really hard because I'd built my entire identity around the idea that I looked a certain way and that was it. And it took, you know, weeks and weeks of trying every single day. And eventually you grow and you grow this list and you start to realize, oh, I'm a good friend. And sometimes I'm funny and I'm smart and I am kind to people and I have empathy. And like, these are all things that I can, and it's shocking how much that can have an impact on how you see yourself. Because I think you have to actively change these ways that we think and the ways that we feel. Number two, I guess I'll say for people who are worried about other people, we spoke a bit about how you can like encourage the things that people do that you're positive about, and I'll double down on that, but that's cheating, so I won't say that one again. I will I think another thing that you can do is look for positive masculine role models for these people, especially if they're young people. I think look for people out there who I don't like to kind of give examples, because I don't think you can, because I think it's very individual. It's very individual. So if, you know, if they're into certain sports, if they're into, I'm being kind of very stereotypical here, but if they're into certain things, find men in that space, like have a look yourself who you think align with the values that you want them to align with, and try and introduce them to them, try and get them in their lives. And then the third one, I guess I will go back to men as well, who might be struggling with this. And it's the bread and butter that I think everyone says, and it's such a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason, is what I always say. Is you have to speak to someone about it if you're struggling with it. I think this body image and disordered eating and exercise issues, as I mentioned, are often seen as a quote unquote woman's illness, and often kind of men can feel a lot of stigma and a lot of shame around wanting to talk about it. And that can be kind of perpetuated when they look at the charities, look at the organizations, and they feel quite feminine, or they have lots of pictures of women, that kind of thing. I can't stress enough, please push past that. I know it can feel bad. I know it's not what we want it to be. I'm trying to make some changes with some of this research I've been doing recently around that. But what we do see is that when men do get through that and they do seek help and they get that help and they have the interventions, they tend to recover as well, if not even a little bit better than women doing some of the interventions. Once you get through that, you can get better. I know it can feel embarrassing and feel whatever, but speak to the staff about that, speak to the people at the organization about it, and maybe they'll make some of those changes for you and make you feel a bit more comfortable. But please do seek help if you listen to this and you are struggling.
Mm-hmm. You have not disappointed. You have got my brain thinking so many new things. As we wrap up, is there anything I did not ask you that you want to share?
I guess I will just plug, as I mentioned there, the way that these organizations kind of advertise themselves can be a problem. It's something we found in our research, and I've very recently kind of published on the MyoMinds website. I can send you the link to it. A guidance document that we co-designed with some men who have lived experience of these concerns. And the guidance is for healthcare services, charities, organizations, people, if you have your own private practice and you provide care therapy for people with body image issues, eating disorder, exercise issues. It's a way that you can advertise the way that you kind of market your service and how it can be more inclusive to men and things to consider. And like I said, that was co-designed with men with lived experience. So we kind of spoke to them about what they think should be changed, what we think should be included. And I think it's really useful, and it's the first of its kind. So we're hoping it's going to have a good impact. And a bunch of charities and organizations and services in the UK have already started taking it in and started using it. So if people are listening and they're interested, go check that out.
That's incredible. Okay. And if somebody wants to follow you on social media, take advantage of the amazing resources you have, where do they go?
If you go on Instagram, is the one I use the most. It's myo_minds. Also, you can just Google my name or Google MyoMinds and you'll find it. My name's unique enough that no one else will pop up, so you'll be fine.
You don't say. Oh my goodness. Well, I want to say thank you so much for coming here. I hope that our viewership is able to really take this to their heart and see how they can contribute to this, because I really believe that everybody becoming educated about it is going to help and prevent this from getting so much worse, as you mentioned. So I want to say thank you for the powerful, incredible work you do and for sharing your time and energy with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening to another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast.